Thanks for tuning in to Miguel's Moment Podcast. I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Have a wonderful day. Now I know when to like cut and edit and all that stuff.
Takes a certain amount of practice, right?
Yeah. So what are we going to talk about today? Hannah, hey. Who's on my podcast, not Catherine.
Not Catherine.
I'm not saying that because like I'm upset that she's not here.
Yeah, no, things happen.
I'm saying that because every time I have you two on, I always forget to say who's who. Mm-hmm. And you you guys are just like, you know, we just talk and wait a second, who's Kath and who's Hannah?
She's really good at bringing in like, okay, I've got a question for you guys.
Okay, I've got a question for you guys.
So like.
Yeah, okay, I got a question for you guys. We should call out a podcast for her. Okay, I got a question for you.
Here, I'll text her really quick.
No, I think everybody should have a podcast. I think I've said that multiple times, right?
Yeah, I think you've talked about that.
Like
yeah.
Everybody should have a podcast. It doesn't matter if they're like going to monetize it or like try to be popular or anything, but I think everybody should have a podcast, especially with everything going on these days. Oh, everybody yeah. has something to say.
Oh, yeah. I mean, between social media, everybody's already talking about whatever's on their mind anyway, so exactly. You might as well voice it.
Yeah. And I was never a big like Twitter person, but like the past week since the whole AMC and GameStop situation, short squeeze, all that stuff. I'm still trying to learn all that stuff, which I'm sure we'll talk about today.
Probably, but I mean, you know, like vastly more than I do. So,
but I'm so confused. Again, I haven't used Twitter in a long time, and this last week is the most I've used Twitter. This last week is the most I've been on Reddit, and I'm usually like anti those things because like there's too much noise happening. Whenever it's like I don't know what. How to, but then once you start using Twitter, you're like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, I had a Twitter in high school, and I think I went on it. I went on it to vague blog because nobody else was on Twitter that was following me, like nobody that I like really yeah. knew. So that was like my platform for, I'm sad. And this is, I'm not going to say why.
Oh, really?
That kind of thing. Yeah, I vague posted all the time in high school. I
thought, yeah, for the longest time, I thought Twitter was just like very similar to Facebook as to what you're doing at the moment. Mm-hmm. And that was it. Like there was no like in-depth meaning, to be honest. Yeah. Like for me, it didn't feel like it was necessary for me to be on there just to see somebody mentioning something about the most recent football game. And that's it. Like, oh, you guys should have been, you know, it's like commentary life.
Yeah.
Like you're going through life and somebody makes a comment like, hell, that guy shouldn't have worn that hat. You know, like yeah. just that's what it feels like to me.
I used to do the whole like I think we were talking about it last time, like mm-hmm. Hannah is thirsty or
yeah, like, yeah.
And then I was like, I need a big glass of water, not yeah. the other.
Or all, Miguel is thinking of, and then you just complete it, but that's all it posts. If you check back on your memories, it doesn't say Miguel is drinking or thinking. Mm-hmm. It just posts watermelon or like that's it. And it doesn't make sense. You try to think back. It's like, what the hell was I talking about?
I have some that I used to go through, like the Facebook like pages, you know, there'd be a whole page of those and I just hit like, so I'm still like scrolling through, mm-hmm. but then some of them would be like whole little mini anecdotes about something stupid. And so that's what I would end up posting
yeah.
on it. And then I look back and I'm like, this is the cringiest thing.
Yeah.
Why did I do this? But then also mixed with song lyrics that I thought I was trying to be mysterious. And most of the time it was like Gravity by Sarah Bareilles because I was, you know.
How does that go?
No. No.
Which one? Is that Gravity?
No.
No, what was his name? Mayer.
Yep. No, this is a really slow, kind of sad song. And I'll show you later.
You know, I was talking about older songs with Crystal. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about like almost, there's a lot of songs that aren't original anymore. They're all just remakes.
It's all covers.
That's why when Trolls came out mm-hmm. and Justin Timberlake's, you know, doll or whatever troll was like, you with those sad eyes.
Yeah.
Don't be discouraged. And I listened, I'm like, that sounds familiar. It's from that one person from that 80s song or something like that. And everybody was like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, it seemed really obvious that mm-hmm. was the song.
I didn't realize. I hadn't listened to that song before, but Carlos was like, yeah, that's.
And that,
that's
a cover. The song I'm referencing is True Colors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And actually he plays it in the theater playlist. So like you hear the actual version, yeah. But the first, so I haven't seen World Tour, so I don't, cause I don't care about trolls that much.
I like the singing.
The first one was cute. I will say the first one is cute, but they did have a lot of more original songs, which was kind of cool.
Yeah.
So I like when the like kids animated movies, like Smallfoot, mm-hmm. remember Smallfoot?
Yeah.
With the human versus.
I gotta be honest. I saw it. I don't remember. It was very forgettable for me.
It's not a
that was with
movie.
Channing Tatum, right?
Mm-hmm. And Common. And Common.
Danny DeVito was in it as his dad, wasn't he?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
But that movie had original songs, which I didn't realize it was a musical movie when the trailers first came out. I was like, this looks stupid. And actually, I like the message of the movie, but the whole movie itself is a very forgettable thing. But the point is, they had original songs.
The differences between two species doesn't matter. You can be friends either way.
Oh, no, the actual message was question authority. That was the actual
message. Oh, really?
Message
I thought it was movie. Like the whole, like, you know, don't be afraid of the other species.
Well, it was that too, but it was
the big one was question
like history and stuff like
culture.
Question it.
Something deep, because they would hit their head on a rock or something
One of the
spoilers.
Spoilers for Smallfoot. If you, any real Smallfoot fans,
I'm just gonna get like hate mail. Like, you son of a bitch, you ruined it for me.
But I have a weird memory when it comes to this stuff. I can remember like really pointless, random things, but I can't remember the important stuff. Like, hey, by the way, we've got a podcast tomorrow, which I did remember, but you know, the last time. the like villain song in that one, it's Common, and he's like the leader of the Yetis and stuff, and he's like, you know, take those questions and shove them down. Like, it's an actual like part of one of the lyrics is like, shove down your curiosity, like don't question it, that kind of thing, for like why the separation between the Yetis and the humans or whatever. But like the point is, like, you know, don't question your authority, like don't question authority, which is
right.
But you know, then it reveals the truth and the good guys save the day, that kind of thing. So
now I gotta watch it again. It's gonna bug the hell out of me that I can't remember it.
Sophia might like it. I mean,
she'll dance to it a little bit.
I mean, she won't know what's really going on, but she'll like the colors and the.
Yeah, she she recognizes when, what's it called? When I go like, do you want your show? And she's like, yeah. Like, she nods her head up and down. But then again, I always like, I ask her questions with the same tone. It's like, do you want to fight? And she goes, yeah. I was like, I don't think she understands.
I used to do that to my dog.
Really? You want a cachetada? You know, like a slap in the face?
Have you seen that video where like the guy's talking to the dog and he's like, he's yelling at the dog, but he's like, you're such a good girl, like, good job for doing this or whatever. Yeah, and then,
but then he changes what he's talking about.
And then he's like, I don't remember how he scolded her, but he scolded her in the like, do you want to go outside?
Like, you know, it's like, you're gonna go in timeout. You're gonna go in timeout because you're shitting all over the floor. And she's like super happy, right?
Yeah.
It's definitely a tone. That's why when like somebody goes into someone's house and a dog gets excited, you're not supposed to react, because if you react, they're thinking, oh, this person wants to play.
Yeah.
So they start jumping up and down or whatever, and you're just like, but like
my uncle has this pure golden retriever dog. Mm. Yeah, his name is Dexter, and he's huge. He is way bigger than a normal, like, golden retriever dog that you'd see. He's just giant. Yeah. So when you go into their house, you really have to, like, fight your
way.
Stay
calm.
Well, you have to fight your way through the entrance, for one, because Dexter's right there trying to jump and get on your business and everything. He's just huge and loud, and this big dog is so excited to see people. And you have to pretend like he's not there, but he's, like, this mountain of a dog that you have to push through. So it's, like...
It's
hard.
I think if you've never grown up with pets, it's difficult when you go over. Mm-hmm. And they tell you, like, oh, just ignore him. Like, they actually mean it. Just ignore him until he settles down. And then you can acknowledge him and be like, all right, now I'm letting you know when I'm available to talk to you kind of thing, which is weird. Imagine if people were like that.
I mean, aren't they a little bit?
Kind of. But imagine like going into like somebody else's house and ignoring the kids until, I mean, the kids ignore you regardless, but
I mean,
it depends.
I mean, I don't know how well like Sophia is to like.
Oh, she's nosy.
Well, I mean, like when you put her for naps, like, does she cry?
Does she? Her naps are on people.
Oh, okay.
We almost never put her down. She'll wake up instantly. And I'm just like, so when I'm there, let's say after this, if I go straight home, I'll pick her up and then she'll just put her head down on my shoulder.
It's so easy.
And I'm like, are you sleepy? She goes, And I'm like, okay. So I just kind of stand there a little bit, rock her back and forth. And usually like around 2-3 o'clock is when she like takes a nap. And if I'm there, she like knocks out right away on my shoulder.
Dang.
But if I'm not there, Crystal's like fighting left and right. Like, just knock out. Like, give her in a boob and to see if she can get full and knock out. But no.
Carlos's brother's kind of like that too.
He leans on his shoulder and falls asleep on Carlos's shoulder?
His brother. Brother that's 10 years older, but no. So his brother has three kids and the newest one, Colette, she's 7 months old. And we went to shave her this past weekend, you know, so we were all in one house and baby gets very fussy sometimes. Yeah. And so when it's time for her to like try to put her to sleep, her mom just, baby always wants mom, but when it's time to put her to sleep, she hands him off to Carlos's brother because Carlos's brother has a magic touch to put her to sleep, and like it works. It's weird.
Yeah, I've
seen it now.
I don't know why. I saw a TikTok video earlier today where the mom had the baby, like newborn, at five, 6, 7 months, wrapped in her sweater, and she's just fighting it. She doesn't want to be with mom, and then she puts her with dad, and dad's like. See, and she's like big old smile on the baby and everything. And I'm just like, I don't know what dads have to, you know, how some it guys, happens.
I mean, like, cause you don't have a very high energy kind of vibe, you know, you're pretty chill. So, and I mean,
maybe,
I think maybe like sometimes, you know, women, I don't like to like stereotype that kind of thing, but
women be crazy. The only time they talk to you is when they yell at you. That's why.
Or nagging.
I didn't say it. But,
but I think guys have just like a, sometimes, not all the time, have like a chiller kind of like mood that it's one of those, like if you're calm, they're calm, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So that could be part of it. I don't know.
I'm sure there's some sort of like psychological reasoning behind it that we can find on Google, but I don't want to do that right now because that takes too much time.
Yep.
But it's just, I don't know. It's like when they're older, let's say 2-3 years old. They, you know, 3 years old, you can start actually having a little bit of a conversation with the child. And let's say you're talking to the, you know, mom is talking. No, you can't have that candy. And then she goes over to me.
Yeah.
And to like get comfort. Mm-hmm. And she grows up with that habit.
I kind of did that a little bit. Yeah. My dad was always like, did you ask your mom?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I got, you know, and then I think we talked about this a few podcasts ago, too. It's like where we... I guess how I would describe it is villainize the mom.
Yeah.
You know,
like don't tell your mom.
Like don't tell your mom or ask your mom, make her feel like the bad guy. That's why she, you know, the kid is always like towards that. But for some reason, me growing up, it was like I can't ask my dad anything. He said no to everything, so it was weird, like seeing that with other people's families. Yeah. And for us, it was just like no, both of them said no, like so we don't ask.
I had more of that. That kind of thing with my grandparents, actually. I've been, not to get all like sad, but you know, my grandma passed away. So I've been thinking about memories and stuff, the difference between and now, because my grandpa passed away 10 years ago. So it's just kind of like I'm thinking about both of them because that house and everything. But he always had like Reese's peanut butter cups, like on top of the fridge, you know, and whatever sweets, you know, just whatever. And
I thought of a quote because of this story. Go ahead.
Okay. but he would always like give us some and just don't tell your grandma.
Yeah.
Like don't. And he was, so I associated him, you know, as a kid, I associated him like the fun one, you know,
yeah.
My grandma's more like the, you need to eat your fruit and vegetables, that kind of something healthy for you or whatever, because he would always, when we lived in Cayucas, Morro Bay area, you know, Cayucas is a small town. So we'd just go around town, you know, and he would let me sit in the front seat, you know, as like a 4-year-old, which is not safe.
No, yeah, definitely.
No car seat or anything.
Well, back then it was a little different too.
Also,
but
yes.
Not that far back for you, but for me, if we sat in the back seat, there'd be no, like, 4-year-old, not even a freaking
seat
car seat, nothing. Yeah. Sometimes not even seatbelt. Yeah, you're right.
Well, and what's funny is we actually just sold the van that, like, I'm talking about to my grandma's friend that was taking care of her and stuff. Yeah. It's a better vehicle for him, but it's weird because that was my grandma. Anyway, that's getting into a different thing, but the point was, like, he would be like, just don't tell your, we have to get home before your grandma gets home and sees you in the front seat, you know, without a car seat and sometimes without a seatbelt. Sorry, Mom, but, like, it's one of those things that, that's where I saw the, like, don't tell your grandma kind of thing. Don't tell your mom.
Yeah.
But, you know, co-parenting, that's...
Co-parenting
United
is
front.
United. Yeah. The more I think about it, the more I'm like, all right, I got to be the bad guy. I can't say go ask your mom. I just got to preemptively anticipate what her decision is going to be and say no.
Have you talked about it? Like, okay, given... Okay, like, Crystal, okay. When this situation happens, what is our approach? Like,
well, and that's one of the things I'm not a big fan of is, let's say I start thinking about every single situation. I feel like I'm bugging the other person, bringing up these scenarios that might never happen.
Right.
It's just one of the things where, like, I got to play it by ear. But the quote that I thought about after you were telling me the story about your grandpa, which, by the way, my grandpa had a van too, which is weird. I think all grandpas had a van.
Probably.
It had had carpet in the van, like brown,
like
apartment
carpet.
That's what it looked like.
Oh, this was
that was weird.
This is a Ford Windstar, like a minivan, that kind of, actually, I drove the car whenever I first got my license because I didn't have a car back then. So that was the vehicle I drove. So it was just.
Yeah. My grandpa had the, it kind of looked like the Volkswagen bus van style, but without the windows, it was all like sliding doors. And then the engine was very small up front, you know, that cut off front part. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so I remember seeing this as especially now when I see a lot of grandparents taking care of the kids when their kids and the mom of the kid goes out and parties and stuff like that. And I saw a little quote is like, if you spoil your child, you'll end up raising your grandchild. If you raise your child, you'll end up spoiling your grandchild. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something to remember is like, all right, I'll have the opportunity to spoil a kid when I'm a grandpa kind of thing. That's what it kind of feels like.
Yeah. No, I kind of get that.
Because it's true. If you spoil your kid and then they have kids, you know, depending on what financial situations, what part of the world you're in here in California. And from what I've noticed, yes, grandparents are taking care of the kids quite often.
Yeah.
Right now, not so much because of COVID, but...
I mean, unless it's...
Back when the clubs were open.
Yeah. No, that... I would agree with that.
Yeah.
That's something that I kind of noticed a little bit, too. I mean... I think it's situational for sure, but...
Yeah. I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to spoil the kid, Sophia, or however many kids we have after that. Spoil until 13 each. 13. After that, completely cut off from financial stuff. Like, I can't buy them random shit. Cut off me being a nice guy. It's going to be like a light switch. And I'm like, all right, you want to make money? Sell your toys. Like, literally, you want to buy that a new thing? Figure it out.
I think teaching, like, the value of money when it comes to, like, that stuff for sure. Because, I mean, when I was little, like, I really didn't understand that either. I was thinking about this last night, and I don't really know why I was thinking about it last night. But I think it's because, you know, some kids are just like whatever with money, they'll just go and spend it and not really think about, you know,
what. Oh yeah. $20 was huge when I was a kid.
$20 was huge. You could buy a lot with $20.
Oh my God.
$20 today.
Now,
maybe one, two things maybe, but like, I ripped a dollar in half in front of my dad once just cause I was like, look what I can do. Cause it's paper.
Yeah.
And he was like, don't do that. That's money.
Oh my God.
I mean, not that a dollar is like a huge big deal or anything, but the fact that like I'm taking money and just whatever. And I was like, do you want these pennies? Like, I'm going to throw them away if you don't want them. And he's like, don't throw your pennies away. It's not trash. It's, you know, put it in something, you know, like.
invested, kind of, yeah. blah, blah, blah. Which now it's a good segue into freaking GameStop and AMC. So what happened was...
Which, by the way, before we get into that, I have a question from Catherine also. So when we get in...
Que la chinga.
Yeah, so...
All right, go ahead.
Okay. So Catherine's question for today...
No, wait. Let's go ahead and see if we can call her real quick.
She might be busy.
What's she doing?
I don't know. I haven't asked her if she's what she's doing.
First, exactly. Ask her if she's busy. Ask her if she's busy. Hey, are you busy? Miguel, and then we'll give her a call.
Wants to know if you're...
Because I have the Rodecaster now, and we can make freaking phone calls. So freaking excited.
But talk about stock market, and then I'll give you her answer, and then I'll ask
Okay. So what had happened was, and you know what? I watched The Big Short again yesterday.
Oh, you did?
I should. And watch it made that again. More sense now after everything. And so long story short, there was hedge funds betting that the price of the AMC and GameStop and other companies too were going to go down. But the top two were like GameStop and AMC.
Yeah.
They pretty much shorted the stock of GameStop. I think the highest I saw was 140%, which means they borrowed it on top of each other, betting that it was going to go down. Not sure how else I can explain it, but that's, you know, the way I understand it is they literally bet more than they were that was available, saying that it was going to go down. So they pretty much wanted GameStop to go out of business, period. Right? And then there's this group of like Redditors that said, you know what, I'm going to buy stock and make it go back up. And then options trading and all that stuff. Look into it if you want to know more. But so we pretty much have like this tug of war. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to join in. And I bought stock, right? Yeah, but a little higher than I wanted to. But I made some at the beginning. And then Friday happened. No, Thursday happened, last Thursday. And then Friday and then Monday and then Tuesday. And it just dropped like crazy. And, I was just like, you know what? No, I'm going to wait, blah, blah, blah. Because... they still have to buy back those stocks because they were shorting it or they borrowed it. I don't. It's hard to explain. I'll send videos or something. But long story short, that 140% disappeared, and it went down to like 39% that they were shorting the stock. Usually, when that happens, like you see a price rise because they have to buy the stock to minimize losses. Meaning, as they're betting it to go down, they're losing money because it actually went up. So now they're trying to buy a stock to make money off of it going up. So they're like canceling each other out.
Yeah.
But it just like disappeared and the stock just went down. And it's confusing because everything I read and learned was like it was supposed to go up. And then I watched The Big Short.
And then it made more sense.
It made a little bit more sense. And I feel like, I mean, if it's a similar thing, the housing market, where the people shorted the housing market. Meaning they were going to bet that it was going to go down, which it did, right? I'm sure you were aware of it. Everybody's aware of it. We were kids.
Back then,
it was 2008.
So I was in eighth grade. So, like, it was one of those.
I was 18.
It was one of those things where it's, like, I was aware of a little bit later. Like, not.
I think people who had houses had a tougher time because, you know, obviously, it talked about, like, mortgages and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It dealt with mortgages. But, anyway. And so, like, the people involved, they were shorting the market. They were like, what the hell is going on? All these mortgages are failing or whatever, the bonds or something, but, like, the price is still the same. So they were like, what's going on? And pretty much they went to go figure out what's going on. And it was like, whoever was involved with the mortgages were lying to one another or, like, synthetically adding value to it so the price won't change. And it did that over and over and over again until... That domino effect happened from the beginning and then everything just crashed and that's where they made the money. So they were right. They were just a little too early.
Yeah.
And I was just like,
I need to watch that movie.
Maybe GameStop is doing the same thing.
Probably. Maybe.
Like, I mean, it's still going to happen, but it's just weird that it went from 140 to 39% and nothing happened and it just went down and just like that. And that's where obviously everybody's like, we need justice and we need it investigated. And it was just funny seeing the hedge funds people going like, why are all these individual retail investors making trouble for us? They should be regulated. Mm-hmm. What? And people are pointing out, you shorted the stock 140%, 40% over its actual value. Like, what? And I'm just like, yeah, there's, I'm sure there's going to be some sort of investigation, sort of restructuring or something. But it's just, damn.
I haven't seen like the stock market, like Wall Street, get this much like news coverage and stuff in a really, really long time. And I mean, I really don't understand a whole lot of it.
Yeah.
You know,
there's, so
it seems like it's just so abstract and kind of arbitrary. Like you don't.
Well, here's the thing. They don't teach us in school about these things, really, right?
Don't. Yeah.
But here's the thing. So I'm following this guy named Chamath Palpatia or something like that. I can't really pronounce his last name, so I'll just say Chamath. And he's really for the retail investors, and he was talking about something along the lines of 401k. Back then, when people were more active in the 401k, the profits were pretty good. Mm-hmm. But then there was this like mentality change where people started becoming more passive on the investing part. So they ignored it, but they still put money here and there, mm-hmm. and then the profits just, you know, went off the cliff. Mm-hmm. You know, it went down. And so his point he's trying to make is the more involved people are, the general public are with their investments, the more and the more we learn, the better we're off, and you know, we create some profit for ourselves. But being passive is just he didn't say it this way, but in my head I'm just like, being passive is very like dumb.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something, but it's not the smartest thing to do.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, God damn it, I got to learn more. And that sucks that the schools don't teach any of this stuff until you get to, like, college. But then you have to you have to personally choose your courses, right? And, like, in college, you have to, like...
Yeah, it's not really, like, a mandatory thing. I mean, no. I took... So my senior year, instead of taking a math class, I took an independent studies, basically, which was, I mean, kind of home ec, but also a little bit of, like, bills and...
basics,
the very, very basics, how to apply for a car loan, how to apply for
how to
a home
balance
loan,
your checkbook.
How to balance your checkbook.
I never learned that, and I still haven't.
So I bought checks about almost 4 years ago. I bought checks, and I have never used one of them because I thought I was going to need them for paying like home bills and stuff. And
everything. Oh no! And then everything became automated.
Everything's online.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love that it's online. I hope that I never have to use checks. And now those checks are arbitrary or they're pointless because I moved units, so it has technically the wrong address on it.
Yeah, my checks still have the more on there.
Yeah,
but as long as they still have the routing number and the account number on the check or whatever it's called, you can still technically pay with that.
I mean, I'm just one unit.
Nobody's really checked the address.
Yeah, I'm one unit over, so it's not like it really makes a huge difference, but like...
I'm 45 minutes, or an hour and 15 minutes away.
Yeah, it's a little bit different.
But it's, they haven't said anything.
But, like, that class is one of those, like, not everybody takes it. It's not a mandatory class. So I appreciated it, like, in that year, because I feel like it actually did kind of help a little bit on how to... There was also, like, a small... portion of it where it's like, hey, keep an eye on this stock and see if it goes up or down or whatever. But it wasn't really like the full in-depth explanation of why and how this works and stuff. I chose Starbucks. But
Back then, Starbucks, which is probably a lot bigger now that...
It's going up. I actually just checked on Robinhood.
Well, I'm talking about when you first told you, hey, make sure you check on the stock. If you would have invested $10 that day or whatever, it would have made a difference, right? But we don't know. Like back then, in my head, it was very difficult... invest. Mm-hmm. And even then, like when I was 18, I was like, yeah, you know what? I should think about investing, blah, blah, blah. Maybe, maybe my world will be different if I invested at 18, you know, but I started looking into it. E-Trade was the most accessible one to the stock market. Right. Mm-hmm. And I looked at it and you had to have like a credit score, high enough credit score. And then you have to have a deposit of a certain amount of money. And I'm like, you know what? And that discouraged me.
Yeah.
And then years later, recently, I got into, definitely into Robinhood, and I was just like, oh, wow. They made the interface so easy that it was just simple for me to invest and stuff like that, which unfortunately what happened last week kind of like made me start from scratch because of freaking GameStop, and I was like, I'm so pissed. Anyway, lesson learned. But, and I tried looking at other ones like Webull, and because I want to get out of Robinhood because of the whole... what happened, Robinhood didn't allow you to buy, which, you know, another part, no, another, they're allowing you to buy now, but right after the freaking stock went down, which suck again, they're going to, hopefully they're going to investigate it, and hopefully there's some, like, you know, but the thing that sucks is they, them stopping it and paying a penalty. If they do get in trouble, they'll pay like millions of dollars. Right. Mm-hmm. But I think they'd rather pay, and I'm not sure if this is true, I think they'd rather pay like $1 million than lose $1 billion during this talk, during this whole short squeeze. So yeah. It's a fucked up game.
Yeah. Oh, it sucks. I mean, yeah. It's all corrupt and stuff. I mean, I don't know a whole, like I said, I don't know a lot about it, but I know it's corrupt. Like it's not.
So what did Catherine say?
So she's busy. And so she says, thanks for asking first. That
fine.
So she can't take a call, unfortunately.
Oh, but she can text?
It's very small messages.
Oh, okay.
So her question today, because I asked her, I was like, hey, what's a good question for the podcast? Because we don't know what to talk about. But,
all right, you
know,
so this is Catherine texting in a question, which we, maybe one day we'll have a... Mm-hmm. A thing where like, hey, audience members, text.
That would be really cool. Hey, for those few like 19-20 active listeners, you can send a message to Miguel and ask a question. We're probably on here for another half hour and that's it.
All right, 21 established audiences. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, cool. Her question, it's kind of like the first part of it is what keeps you accountable? And then I was like, accountable? Like what? And she was like, with goals and aspiration, what keeps you going? What makes you want to be a better person? What makes you, you know, strive for that? So you go first and then I'll go.
What keeps me, well, it depends what goals I have. If it's something simple as dieting, what keeps me accountable is...
Let's go with the dieting because that's probably everybody's
question. So dieting for me is very difficult because I grew up in a Mexican home and there was a lot of carbs, a lot of second plates served. And I mean, it's a joke for a lot of people, but tamales are no joke. You know, if you have two or three, you're starving yourself. Your parents and grandparents won't let you just have two or three. So they'll offer and offer until you say yes.
I'm thinking of Coco whenever he's like, have some more tamales.
It's like, no, I'm okay. No, you know, I'm full. It's like,
nonsense. And
I said, would you like some more tamales? Yes.
That's what I thought you said.
So they're pretty much fattening us up. And so as far as dieting, that's a little bit tough for me. So I'm so used to eating in large portions. Mm-hmm. And then I started working at Taco Bell. So there's like this, like, these certain benchmarks in my life were like, this is why it's very difficult for me to be on a good diet. Growing up, lots of carbs, second plate, stuff like that, right? And then I started working at Taco Bell, and Taco Bell gave you 10-minute, 30-minute breaks. Mm-hmm. If you work shorter shifts, you get 10-minute breaks. Try eating a whole meal in 10 minutes.
It's not.
So I learned how, you know, I conditioned myself to eat quickly. And ever since, I can't just eat slowly. Unless I'm like having a conversation or with a group of friends and stuff like that. But my, you know, my habit is to eat my food first and then talk.
Yeah.
Which kind of sucks because there's been plenty of times where I'm at dinner and I'm the first one to finish and everybody's still eating and I'm over here like just drinking my water or drink or whatever it is that I got. I'm like, yeah. It's like, oh, dude, you're done already. I'm like, dude, it's a gift and a curse. Yep. It's crazy, which I should probably enter like food eating competitions because I feel like I would fare pretty well.
Go where your strengths at.
Yeah, exactly. Lean into your strengths and also lean into the wall because, like, you know, at some point I won't be able to hold myself up. But so for me, I have to plan everything to completely take out of the equation last minute decisions of eating. Because if I plan, I already bought a salad for every single day this week, that's what I'm eating for lunch. And on the way home, I'll grab chicken or make something at home. Mm-hmm. You know, just it has to be planned. If there is a lot of uncertainty of what I'm having that day, that is one of the bad days for me.
Gotcha.
So for me to keep myself accountable, I need to plan ahead.
That's good. I am really bad at that.
Yeah, because you do good for like 3-4 days.
Yeah.
And then something happens where you're just like, okay, this day... I will go off the rail a little bit. Mm-hmm. But then the following day, like, whoa, I already did it yesterday, and get that weird, like, domino effect.
I get this, like, if I start the day off unhealthy, I got to finish it unhealthy. Like, yeah. It's not going to get any better. Like, yeah. Even though I absolutely could turn it around. Mm-hmm. So going with the whole dieting thing, I really don't have a nice, like, plan or, like, thing that keeps me accountable. Honestly, I kind of actually rely on Carlos a little bit for it, which isn't, I mean, it's fine because we can help keep each other, you know? But when he's okay eating an entire thing of Chips Ahoy cookies in one sitting, which has happened.
With a big old glass of milk for me.
Yep, with a big old glass of milk. It's kind of hard to rely on him to keep me accountable whenever all I want is pasta.
Yeah.
Or like when we're at the store and I'm like, I'm just going to get a thing of chocolate. And because I have like this bowl on Ben's fancy coffee table of Valentine's Day candy. Yeah. Because, you know, for everybody to take. But luckily lately I haven't really been, I mean, I took a couple the other day, but like I haven't taken a whole lot from it. But
yeah, I'll have a bite of a cookie here and there. I'll eat one cookie. Even when I'm planning ahead, I can still eat one or two cookies. And we're talking about the small Chips Ahoy ones, right?
Yeah.
The big cookies, I'm like, fuck it, this is my meal, which kind of sucks.
Yeah.
But, you know, as far as dieting, I do have to plan ahead. And then at the same time, the people you live with have to be on the same page with you. Because if you leave snacks around me.
If you buy it for somebody else, I mean, like when my mom goes grocery shopping, like she doesn't tend to eat too unhealthy. So when I was still living with her, like she would eat salads and bring salads to work. And I'm like, that's really awesome. Like, I commend you for that. I will be like, yeah, I'm going to buy salads, right?
Yeah.
And I'm going to have them in my fridge and this is what I'm making. But the next morning, I'm like, I have this whole plan. I have a good day where I'm like, I'm getting healthy stuff. And then the next day when it comes time to bring it to work and I get to my lunch, I'm like, I don't want this. This is not what I am in the mood for. You know what I am in the mood for? Red Scooter has soups. And usually it's like chowdery soups, which have a little bit more, you know?
Or
sandwich or something like that with bread.
Yeah.
I get the craving thing. So I think what I need to do is just ignore the cravings completely, because that's kind of my downfall. Is I'm like, I need something crunchy. I need chips. Or I need... Yeah. Cookies or I really want a whole tub of ice cream.
I'm getting hungry.
Well, and I mean, honestly, my biggest thing is iced coffee because it's sugary and I really shouldn't be drinking it, but I'm not really ready to give up coffee yet, so that's not happening. But the other stuff, like I felt like I was doing pretty good like a week or so ago. I was making dinners, you know, whatever it was. I wasn't buying food. I mean, I was buying the food to make the dinner, but I was,
see, that's one of the things I can't take into account for at the moment, because we do live with the in-laws.
Yeah.
So it's like the kitchen is usually occupied. Mm-hmm. So it has to be me picking up chicken on the way home, a rotisserie, picking up a salad on the way home.
Yeah, but the rotisserie chicken, that's still pretty good. I mean, at least you're not going to fast food and stuff, because, I mean, luckily in my case, like, I mean, I'm not eating super, super healthy, but I'm also not going to fast food places. Like, I can't really stand Taco Bell or Panda anymore, which is sad because I love Panda, but... Apparently not anymore. Last time I ordered it, I had it delivered here and it was just lackluster.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was like...
I feel like the last couple times we've ordered Panda, like, there was, like, extra food in there.
I don't know. It has, like, this mushy flavor. Like,
well, because it's in the containers, too,
probably. Well, too, yes, but it sort of starts to all taste the same to me. Like, not in a COVID way, but, like, it starts to, like, all taste fast foody, even though, like, Panda's not really fast food. But.
Yeah.
But with Taco Bell and stuff, and I haven't really liked McDonald's in years. And sometimes I'll get a weird craving for like Wendy's chicken nuggets, the spicy ones. But like, I don't know. As far as keeping myself accountable food wise, I definitely need to have a system, like planning it out and then sticking to that plan.
Yeah. So let's talk about something where we have been accountable and we've had been good at, right? Because right now we're pretty much talking about how like we try to be accountable, but we end up falling off the rail. Mm-hmm. So what's something you have been accountable for and you kind of feel proud of yourself?
I'm going to dive into work for a minute. Cause, so, you know, we have different like weekly chores and stuff that we have to take care of at the theater, like candy order and donations and, you know, all the, I don't even have them on here anymore. But one thing that I've really liked having, like, my phone being this way is I have reminders on when to do stuff, and I don't like notifications on my phone, like, at all. Yeah. I hate them. So if I have to get something done, I have it pop up like, hey, you have this. And then if you don't do it, then, you know, I have this annoying notification. So I don't know if that really qualifies in this category of what keeps me accountable, but I mean, I kind of use that sometimes, like, I need to get this done.
Yeah.
So that kind of extends to other stuff outside of work too, but I use it for work a lot. So when I forget about doing the candy order or something, it's, I'm not paying attention to that. But
yeah.
Outside of work though, I'm really bad at this because I'm not good at keeping myself accountable. I don't.
Here's probably one good reason why it's hard for me to answer this, because I don't note things down on what I'm accounted for. You see people on, you know, on Instagram, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. They're making calendars or doing something, writing in a journal, like the diet, you know, the,
oh, I love those bullet journals.
Nutrition journals, whatever, you know, they keep account of everything. And I've never been somebody who does that.
Mm-hmm.
Me, if I lost weight, like when I did lose weight initially, I did the, you know, I didn't have before pictures because I didn't know how far I was going to get with the whole weight loss thing. So I had to, a lot of it, I had to use pictures other people took,
mm-hmm.
you know, it wasn't me taking selfies. I did have a few, but not a lot.
Yeah.
And even now it's like, if I'm talking about the diet, I'm not going to, you know, I tried doing the whole posting on Instagram to try to keep myself accountable as far as what I'm having, how much water, mm-hmm. when am I starting off of the day, how am I ending the night and all stuff. And then it just became more work for me. And I'm just like, okay, let's keep it realistic. What helped me is keeping everything to myself. I'm not,
I believe it. Totally.
You know, I kept everything to myself. There's only a few times where I'm like, oh, look how much weight I lost. And mm-hmm. that's where, but I wasn't posting it. I wasn't doing anything because I didn't set a public expectation of myself, you know, and then I felt bad kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's why I don't post very much about what I'm doing and stuff like that. So,
yeah,
I mean, what I'm doing right now is, again, trying to plan ahead with the dieting, right? I'm drinking a lot of water, obviously. I got to pee all the time. Which I check all the time. It's like, well, if you have to pee a lot because you drink a lot of water, that's normal, blah, blah. But if you have to pee a lot and you aren't drinking a lot of water, there's something wrong with your liver. Da, da, da. It's like, try to make sure I monitor that.
You're drinking
a
lot of water. I noticed that.
Yeah. So it's fine that I have to pee. I mean, you take water and you have to dehydrate somehow, you know, either sweating or, you know, going to the restroom. And then financially, I don't post all the stuff I'm talking about with the stock market and stuff like that. I talk about it a little bit because, you know, in the moment I am kind of excited or bummed or whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't post these things because, like, one, I'm not an expert.
Mm-hmm.
And then two, I don't want to set expectations for myself,
mm-hmm.
you know? And me being realistic is the moment I start putting it out there in the world and setting these expectations for myself, thinking people expect things from me. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not necessarily they told me they expect things from me. They just, in my head, I'm like, oh man, now I keep doing it.
Well, you start kind of picturing these ideas that people have of you and stuff. And then it's like, oh, I can't.
A year down the road, I have to keep this up, mm-hmm. whatever, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And the reality is like, no, you know what? I'm just going to not beat myself up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to keep doing what I can within my reach without having to like overextend. Cause you know, the reality is I didn't lose weight by posting every single day.
Yeah.
You know, the reality is I didn't lose weight by, keeping track of what I ate every single day. I just told myself salad, chicken, muscle milk, mm-hmm. pretty much one cheat day. Yeah. That's it. That's all I had.
Yeah.
And I did that every single day. I didn't put expectations on myself. And now it's like, I do have a kid to worry about and I do have a wife to think about when it comes to like deciding what food we want to eat. I don't want to make her suffer like, because of me and how I want to eat.
You can't just be like, oh, I had a protein shake. So
you're good. You know, decide on your own, you know, whatever. So I try to like, again, it's a partner thing. So she does her best to like accommodate me, but at the same time, like cheat days are our cheat days. Like mm-hmm. we have two big meals that day.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's usually salad. I have coffee in the morning and this is not me setting an expectation. I'm just telling myself this. This is not me setting an expectation. But I'll have a coffee.
I think we need to get a mirror out so you could just...
Seriously, I'm talking to myself in the mirror. You're one bad bitch, you know? Like,
I tell myself very different things in the mirror.
Well, I don't do the whole mirror thing, but like I feel like sometimes I should... You know that that one trick that people, you know, very successful people do where they... Some successful people, I'm not going to say everybody, but they'll put notes all over the mirror... With positive notes and stuff, you know, like that, because that's the first thing they do when people wake up is they go to the restroom, they pee, they brush, you know, they do whatever they need to do, and they're looking at the mirror, right? Mm-hmm. So it just, however you can change the first 5 minutes of your day in a positive way, it's going to affect the rest of your day. Kind of.
I used to do that,
right?
In high school. I haven't done that since high school.
I haven't done that either, but I've never done that. Maybe one day I will. Right now we have a shared bathroom. Again, everything is very affected with my current living situations, with
which is hard with dieting and stuff.
Dieting, because, like, exercising, because, you know, then I do get a little self-conscious when it comes to exercising at the in-laws' house. You know?
I can't exercise with other people because I'm so unhappy with the way that I look, which gets into a different conversation completely, which I'm not here, going to. But I can't. I am very like. I think a lot of people think certain things about like me and like the way I look. Mm-hmm. So I very much care what people think, and I shouldn't, but I guess that kind of keeps me accountable because I care what people think. So like when, like with writing my story and everything, like it was nice. I mean, I still kind of have them, but I just haven't really worked on it in a while, but I had Ben read it. And then he was like, okay, when's my next chapter? When's my next chapter? That kind of thing. And I'm still working on the freaking chapter. But
so
like,
you're writing a book.
Yeah.
Just to clarify.
Yes. So I've been like an aspiring writer since like middle school, and I have always wanted to be a writer, and I have finished one
book or one chapter?
One book from 7th grade to 8th grade. I wrote one, and it needs to be heavily edited because it's awful.
Yeah.
And it's only awful because it's mine and I'm the only one that's read it. So
you're your worst critic kind of thing. Yeah.
But it's also a 7th grader wrote it, so.
That's true. Which is another thing is like anything I've done in the past when it comes to like as far as what knowledge I apply to what I'm doing, whether it's financial, healthy, social, whatever. Mm-hmm. I always tell myself that was 10 years ago. You know, like what I did then is going to be vastly different what I'm doing now. Mm-hmm. So I can't do the same thing if it worked back then. I have to adjust
a
little bit.
You have to.
When I was single, I did what I did to lose weight. I can't do the same thing because I have a kid at home. It's just one of those things where like I have to adjust. I'm still trying to find the balance, but for the most part, it's like, okay, I can control how much water I'm drinking. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. Eating, still trying to adjust. But the eating includes the cheat day, so the cheat day definitely helps. And then as far as exercising, we're at home in the in-laws. You know, I don't exercise. I don't want to use Sophia as an excuse, but, you know, I do. Like, we do just hang out, you know. Yeah. Eventually, when she is running around, I have to really, really, really push myself on exercising because I don't want to be that dad that, like, is just sitting, hey, be where I can see you.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to be that person.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so, like. With me, because I do care so much about what other people think, which isn't the healthy way to keep myself accountable at all. I think it definitely comes down to self-determination and motivation in yourself also, and belief in yourself and all of this other crap that they, you know, they tell you, and I'm just so bad at it. But like with writing, like my current, you know, story or something, you know, I like being able to have a friend that is like, hey, I'm excited for the next thing. So that like Ben was doing that for a really long time. And he still kind of does that. He's still like, hey, you're not doing anything. Read, write, draw. I don't care what it is. Do something.
Do you ever feel like people, you know, telling you those kind of things? Do you ever find yourself going like, why should I have to do it? Like,
it depends on the mood that I'm in.
Okay.
If I'm in the self-depreciating mood and I'm like, why, I'm not good at it anyway, that kind of thing. But then at the same time, I see this thing every once in a while, and it is specific to writing fiction stories and stuff, but it's like only like when it is very specific to writing stories, but I feel like it could also be metaphorical because it's like only you can write the story that you have in your brain. You are the only person that can do it. Same with working out in the way that you want to, or, I mean, I also, you know, I also love art, so I'm I've been wanting to get prints and stuff made and sell those. So like only I can do that for my stuff. I can't have somebody else do it for me.
Yeah, no.
But with my story and everything, it's like only I can write it. I can't tell somebody my idea because one, it's always freaking changing because I can't make up my mind to save my life. Like it's awful. But like I can't just tell somebody else, this is what I have in mind, do it for me, because nobody else can do it the way that I can do it. Everybody has their own fingerprint on what they're good at. So it's like, I think that kind of keeps me going a little bit, is that idea that only I, like what I want to do, only I can do it.
So with you saying that, I always think to myself, like with over what, 7 billion people in the world, is it 7 or 9? I can't remember anymore.
You know,
anyway, it's high.
I was going to make a really bad joke. Really bad. It's so insensitive. Anyway.
Okay, we won't say then.
Yeah.
So we can say 9. It off air.
It was 9. It's now 7.
Oh my God. That's bad. That's real bad. So with you saying like there's nobody else that can do it the way you want to do it, do you think other writers had the same mentality? Like
since it was a like a Tumblr post that I saw, I would imagine so. But yeah. Like it's one of those, I mean, we all think that we're very, very, very unique, and we are. We are very unique. There is not one person on this world exactly like us.
But they're similar.
There's a lot of similar people. But still, even if they're similar people, they're still not going to do it in the same way. Whatever it is, nobody is going to do it exactly the way that you are.
So here's one of the things that helped me a lot, and it's something that I haven't really practiced, and I'm starting to again, is there's two types of motivation. There, one, you have motivation. Mm-hmm. Like you get up, you're motivated, you're going to go
work out, so jealous of
write your
people.
Book, right? I'm very jealous. And then the second one is you observe motivation. So if you're not motivated, you take a look at somebody else who is. Mm-hmm. If you don't take a look at somebody else who is motivated doing their thing, and you just sit and watch Netflix or, you know, fill your day up with non-motivational, you know, information, you're not going to be motivated after that.
Yeah.
No, it's just one of those things. That's why I kind of want to buy, you know, Limitless, and I want to buy Warrior. Remember that movie, the MMA fight Warrior?
Yeah, I think so.
It was good. Chef is another good one.
I love Chef.
That motivated the hell out of me.
Oh yeah, for sure. I wanted to be a chef after that. Yeah. I'm not great at cooking, but like, you know, with enough practice and, you know, you can really master anything with enough dedication and practice and
absolutely. Motivation. I wanted to cook. I remember the show White Collar. I think it was called White Collar. White Collar. Is that the artist, thief, collar. Whatever?
I'm aware of the show. I've never seen it.
Yeah. So he's a pretty much high-end kind of artist and thief or whatever, forager. And they caught him, and so they hired him kind of like at the end of Catch Me If You Can. Mm-hmm. Where he, you know, starts working with the authorities rather than be, a fugitive. So the whole show is about that. So they had like some sort of like an inside the mind of a thief kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. And the entire time he was also practicing painting. So he wasn't just, you know, replicating and, you know, doing all these bad things. He was also like working on himself. So the entire time me watching the show, I was like, I need to learn how to paint on canvases. I want to learn how to create something, right? And I was very like, you know, I saw the show and I'm like, oh man, I really want to do that. And
you still can.
I still can. So here's the story behind that. I went to Michael's. Mm-hmm. I was looking at all the stuff, right? And then I went online and goes, you can sign up for classes. I think right now you can't, but back then you could.
Yeah. Michael's has a lot of.
There was a like canvas for beginners and how to paint and what to use, blah, blah, blah. It's not all right. So I signed up. Right. And then I was running late for the class because I had to purchase the stuff first. Right. So mm-hmm. I went, purchased all the stuff I needed. Then I went to check out. And then I'm like, all right, sorry, I'm like 5 minutes late. I'm here for this class. And then they're like, there's no class scheduled for today. I'm like, it says right here. And I showed her everything, receipt of the class, what time and date, everything. Apparently the teacher said they called the person who was supposed to teach the class, and they were like, yeah, they didn't get a schedule because there wasn't enough people signed up for the class.
That happens a lot with Questa too.
And I'm like, what? But they didn't notify me.
Yeah.
Nothing. There was nothing, whatever. And I was just like, You serious? And I just bought all the stuff. I'm like, all right, I guess I got to return these things. And I started returning them. And they're like, yeah, you just have to contact Michael's online and see if they can refund you the glass. I'm like, all right. I tried rescheduling it, but like, they just never. And I'm like, oh man, I got so discouraged. Mm-hmm. And then the show, I finished the show. I binge watched it. And I'm like.
That feeling kind of went away.
It went away.
Yeah.
It went away. But that's why, like, I'm very, like, I like to learn a little bit of everything now, because mm-hmm. if I feel like if I focus on something, I feel like my time might be wasted. But if I learn a little bit of everything and then kind of like adjust as I go, it'd mm-hmm. be different.
Yeah. You
know? Like this whole podcasting thing.
The whole jack of all trades.
Jack of all trades kind of thing. Yeah. The whole podcasting thing is like, I've learned a lot. Will it become something? I don't know. I'm not putting that expectation out there though.
Yeah. No, that's the bummer part about, you know, when you're going to like learn stuff with classes and whatnot. I mean, that's great. People want to learn, but it you get this thing where it's like you have to have enough students to have a class, which is a really big bummer because they do that at Cuesta a lot.
Yeah.
Which is, I understand it from a monetary standpoint.
So when you're doing general ed, those that typically fill up, right?
Oh, yeah.
But when you're doing something you want to mm-hmm. practice on your own, like... Yeah. If there's not enough people, it just gets canceled.
I took a creative writing class.
Doesn't that just discourage
people?
It's one
of those things where it's like, I really hope that enough people sign up for it. Otherwise, it's going to be canceled. I'm like, this is what I wanted to do, is take a freaking creative writing class. When I started Cuesta, it was only in SLO and I couldn't drive. Finally, there was one in Paso and I took it. And actually, I really want to retake it because I didn't get everything. I had a friend in that class who was incredibly distracting. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't really get my all in that class, which is just a huge bummer. So I'd like to retake it, but that requires going back to Cuesta and
I'm never going back to school.
I think that school is like a useful tool if you want to, but it's not one of those things that's necessary anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to school now to get a degree so you can get the job that requires the degree, but really you can learn some of this stuff online.
I don't know. For me, it's like, if I'm going to go to college, it's probably just going to be because I want to learn something. I'm not going to like follow a specific career.
At this point, for me too, it's kind of just like, because I mean, I've kind of flip-flopped on what I've wanted to do for a long time. I mean, I've always wanted to be a writer, and I think that's always going to be true. I'm a storyteller deep in my heart. Like, that's just who I am. But you know, for a while after high school, I'm like, I'm going to be an animator. I'm going to be a Disney animator.
I wanted to be a math teacher for the longest time.
Ew, why? That's the worst one.
I was good at math back in middle school and high school.
I had a Facebook post saying how much I liked math, and I was like, this is not me.
that definitely has changed now, because like I see some of the homework, and I'm like, oh, I'm totally blanking. Like, I don't remember a lot of it.
Have you seen how they do multiplication of
I saw that. I don't want to talk about it. I saw that. It really made me mad.
The weird thing is I understand it. I understand kind of how to do that. Like, if you put it in front of me, I can pretty much figure it out. However, stupid.
It's extra steps.
It's so much easier and cleaner looking.
Yeah.
I could get all my homework done on one page. Like,
yeah. I used to be able to do all the homework. They always said, show your work. But I was really good at doing everything in my head, because it made sense. I can do it fast.
Yeah.
Because my penmanship wasn't that great, and mm-hmm. at the same time, I wasn't writing down fast enough to want to finish the homework.
Yeah.
So long story short, there's a lot of times I didn't turn in homework.
Yeah, no, I get that. But I mean, I don't know. I think there's a lot that we can learn, and it's just.
Well, that's why. Were we talking about this last time? We were talking about like there's. Oh, we were talking in person, not on the podcast. As far as like the transitioning into stage A.
Oh, the different civilizations.
The different civilizations.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything's going to be like online learning at some point.
Oh, yeah.
Especially after this year.
It's working our way to the, you know, next podcast.
We're going to talk about that.
So I'm going to do a little bit of research on the different types of civilization, and then I'll bring it up in the next podcast.
And then we can talk about it.
I know Catherine's going to be like, what?
But you guys are weird. But wait, I got a question.
But like, this is one of those things, this specifically actually is one of those things where I'm actually really interested in, but it's not something because, like, again, I wanted to be the whole animator you know, at the beginning of my college career. And then I took an astronomy class. I'm like, oh my God, I love this. So I'm going to do like major in like art and English and minor in astronomy, two of the most different things ever. And I mean, kind of, you could relate them, but and I don't know, I kind of, after not going anywhere with that, you know, you kind of just become content with the routine. So like, for me, going back to the whole accountable thing, establishing a routine for me is going to be the biggest thing. But also, I mean, you're going to change your mind on what you want to do. I'm kind of hitting a whole lot of different subjects right now, I realize that.
But, let's talk about finances.
Yeah, and then...
So we put $5 away every single day for a whole year. Have you seen those videos? They put them in an envelope. Like every time you get a $5 back as a change, you put it away in an envelope.
I actually have an envelope titled Sadia Wedding Fund because I'm trying to raise money for my wedding.
Yeah.
And I know we don't have a whole lot of time left, but like, this is how I save when I want to go to Disneyland too. And I'm really persistent about it because I can't put it in my savings for Disneyland money because that's money I'm just going to take out anyway. So it goes separate. It's cash. Uh-huh. And so like every paycheck I would put, like 60, at least like 40 or 60 in the envelope and take it out so I don't spend it. It's at home. I can't touch it.
Yeah.
One of those things. We have one of those for Cidio Wedding Fund also because have we dipped into it? Yeah, we had to dip into it. We went to Shaver Lake and had to pay for stuff and we had to pay for other stuff. And now Carlos needs to go to the chiropractor because his back is all fucked up. And it's fun, but it's an interesting way to save.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, it works for me, but
I remember seeing that video and somebody like at the end of the year, we did this for an entire year and then they pulled it out like we have $1,800 to use whatever. And I'm like, all right, my head goes, what are you going to use those $1,800 for? And they spend it on one big thing and that's it.
See, that's not the way it should be, though. Like it needs to be.
They bought a new game system. They bought this or they go on a vacation, blah, which I get it. It's great and all. But I mean, like, I'm sorry, but if you have debt, don't spend it on vacations, you know? But I don't know what their financial status is and stuff like that. So,
again, to each their own, but
at the same time, really, it's like
we should be saving for, I don't want to speak for everybody. I should be saving for necessity stuff because I have a car that likes to crap out on me a lot. Yeah, not a lot, but like it every once in a while to make a noise, and I'm like, gotta go get that fucking checked.
My check engine light keeps coming on and off, and I know what it is. It's just I'm gonna wait until I absolutely have to fix it.
My airbag light has been on for a year or so, and it's the passenger one. I know what it is. I've had Kia and my mechanic check it out, and it's actually a short in the seat belt. It's under the seat. I saw it and everything. But also my TPMS light has been on since I bought the car. And I actually made an appointment to get it fixed. It's only two of them. And I made an appointment to get it fixed. And I forgot about the appointment. So didn't do that. And I need a new car. So I'm kind of saving new car. For that.
You need a house.
But then saving for potential house. And then there's always having roommates and stuff now, but that's not going to be forever. So I need to plan for, you know, when it's just Carlos and I and having to cover rent that way. And then planning for a wedding. And then if we have kids and then all this
stuff.
Doesn't
it suck that like we have so many expenses?
It's ridiculous.
Like if you really think about it, like it feels like the only way out of it is to win the lottery.
Yeah, let's talk about that lottery for a second. I did not get one correct number on my ticket, I would like a refund.
I got one number. I didn't really get a Powerball number correct. Apparently, if you at least get the Powerball, you get like a new ticket, right?
I have no idea. I got literally not one number.
I'm an idiot.
There was five.
I spent too much money on it.
There was five sets of numbers on my ticket.
I was hopeful.
Five sets of numbers. So five lottery tickets, not one number matched the winning ticket.
That's a sign.
I swear to freaking.
That's a sign you should spend more. Just kidding.
So on the way up to Shaver, Carlos's mom and I actually bought. I mean, she also did the super, but I did two mega and two power also. And when I checked, I got a couple of numbers on there, but it wasn't the power or it wasn't like the wasn't the big number.
Yeah.
And it was like one of the first numbers. It was like one, and then it matched it. One, and that was it. Yeah. That was it. It's like, really? How is it? I don't know. I feel like it's one of those, like, it's never you, but it should be. Like, you know?
You know,
it's
when...
like, why is it not?
I was driving home the other day, maybe a couple days ago, and a thought went through my head, you know, why did I buy the tickets? Like, I knew the chances were very slim.
Yeah,
but there was this weird sensation that I can't stop thinking about. Is like the Powerball was at $1 billion, or the Mega was at $1 million. And the weird thing is, like, buying the ticket gave me like some, I mean, I want to say hope, but it was like definitely false hope.
Yeah,
but it gave me a little hope. And like, imagine people playing that every single week.
Yeah, I can't do that every week. That's crazy to me.
That seems crazy, but what's the difference between buying it once?
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Because I know that feeling you know? That you got. It's kind of like, what if it, like, it's probably not me. But yeah. What if, but why not? Why couldn't it be me?
The thing that bugs me is, why can't I have that feeling when it comes to dieting?
Why can't I have that feeling when it comes to finishing my goddamn book? Like, I can't.
It makes you wonder, like, where are... state of mind is you know, like, okay, so we have to condition ourselves a little bit better. And I think that's what I'm learning about myself is, like, all right, I gotta do something. So instead of being on my phone at the end of the night, maybe you should change that habit. Or, you know, I don't know, there's all these things that factor in, obviously, but like, that really stuck in my head when buying the lotto ticket. And, you know, I'm hoping I learn from it, like, how to recreate that feeling, but without having this hope, you know, this false sense of hope.
I guess that kind of sort of answers the second part of that. After what keeps you accountable, but what makes you want to be a better person was the last part of that question. It kind of goes into that is
where your priorities are.
Where you know,
it's kind of like one of those things where, like, if you're happy where you work, you never technically work a single day of your life.
Technically, yeah.
So you just have to make that mentality. So if you're happy with your diet, you're not dieting. If you're happy with your exercising, working out, it's a lifestyle.
Yeah.
So I think we just have to adjust to the point where we get to that point, to when we get to that point, and everything before that is just the journey. So we're going to just have to figure it out and adjust. It doesn't mean it's over, you know, you just adjust until you find that good feeling. And, or don't do drugs though.
Yeah, this does not apply to
drugs. Don't do drugs. Don't keep doing drugs until you get that feeling. And I think this is the end of the podcast. Yep. So we're going to put the music back on. Real quick, just don't do drugs.
Yeah, like, really don't. Wear your seatbelt.
Wear your seatbelt. Wash your hands.
Wear your mask.